But there's something else good come out of Kentucky. Amen. Bluegrass come out of Kentucky. Amen. 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 We like Kentucky. We like Kentucky bluegrass. Amen. Somebody, I think it's Dr. James Jones. I heard him say at our church years ago up in Hoven. He said, in heaven, the grass is green. It's true. But I'm convinced, in heaven, the streets are gold. It's true. But I'm convinced the grass is blue. Amen. And about said that wrong. All right. Man, it's sure good to be here. Brings back a lot of memories coming. I think the first time we was here was in either 2013 or 14. We were headed to Ghana then as missionaries. Brother Josh McBriar was in that meeting. Brother Jeremy Holloway was in that meeting. If he'd have told me what the Lord would do over the next 7 years, I'd have said, there's no way. I thought I'd be in Ghana all the way through now. And, of course, we're going back to Ghana now. I thought Brother Holloway would be in South Sudan. And I figured Brother McBriar would be where Brother McBriar is, because we're live, so I can't talk about that. Amen. And God, and here we are in 2021, and the Lord allowed us to start some churches in Ghana, amen. But our most recent church plants in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Our church there supports Brother McBriar, amen. And now Jeremy Holloway's pastor in that church, amen. And we're going back to Ghana. You say, how does that all work out? You have to figure it out. It's a long story, amen. But we are beginning furlough. We want to thank the church here for supporting our family. And thank you so much for not only supporting us financially, but praying for us. As a young missionary, and I'm not knocking young missionaries, I'm just saying as a young missionary, when I went on the road at the age of 22 to be a church planner, I'd always talk about, I like it when people pray for us, but man, I was looking for that support to come in, amen. Just y'all can amen right there, amen. And missionary wants to get his support to get where he's going. But 18 brain surgeries later for our son, and 8 stomach surgeries later, now my wife just come through cancer, money can't take care of those kind of things. You need prayer. And money can finance the starting of churches, but money can't save souls. Money can't organize a church, amen. That takes God, and it requires prayer. And I can tell you that we do thank you for your financial support. But we thank you so much for your prayers. I can remember as a young church planting missionary, 23 years old, 24 years old, a pastor who's in Akron, Ohio now, but at the time was in Rochester, Minnesota, and we'd been to a meeting together. And he said, man, I'm right by the Mayo Clinic. He said, if your family ever has any kind of health needs, we've got a prophet's chamber. We got folks that'll put you up. And I just dismissed him. I said, brother, we're a healthy family. I said, I'll never see you again. And 18 brain surgeries later for our son, they became our second family. And you just never know how life's going to go and what God's going to allow you to go through to bring glory to his name. Amen. But we thank God that we get to bring glory to him. Amen. All right. Again, thank you so much. Appreciate you putting us up, flying us in. Appreciate these missionaries that are here. Looking forward to fellowship, getting to know some of y'all, getting to fellowship with others of y'all, amen, throughout the week. And it's just going to be a good week, amen, and just really excited about it. Matthew chapter number 13, verse 44, it's 20 minutes till noon. And I know that really doesn't mean nothing for a lot of folks, but I do know it's Resurrection Sunday. I know that some of you have to go. You've got family coming in. And so I'm going to try to honor that this morning. Unless the Spirit of God really bids me to go past noon, I want to be done at noon, all right? So we're going to preach fast. You have to listen fast if I preach fast, all right? Matthew chapter number 13, verse 44, just one verse here. The Bible said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Let's read that one more time. The Lord's given parables relating to the kingdom of heaven, and here's one of his parables, one verse. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And I want to preach on that thought this morning. Would you buy the field? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd bless as we preach this morning. Lord, I really want to respect these folks' time. I know that many of them probably have family come in to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not just celebrating in the church this morning, but they're going to celebrate at their homes. And we want to respect that. And Lord, I pray, Lord, if you want me to go beyond noon, I'll be obedient to you. But if you'd let us go to noon and stop then, and if thy Spirit would work in hearts, And Lord God, if you would, there's someone here lost that they'd get saved. There's someone here backslidden, they'd get right. But Lord God, for everyone here that's saved and serving, Lord God, I pray you challenge us to serve a little more, to give a little more. And God, I pray this week that you would touch hearts and touch people to go. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I can't think of a better way to start a missions revival, a missions conference, than on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. Amen. Half of our world's never heard of the death and burial, much less of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I think it's a good day to have a missions revival. So, in our text here, the Lord is giving parables about the kingdom of heaven. And there are varying opinions on what the kingdom of heaven is as contrasted with the kingdom of God. Clearly, the New Testament talks much about the kingdom of God. And clearly the New Testament, especially the Gospels, talk much about the kingdom of heaven. And we understand that I'm going to use a big word here. Some of you know it. Some of you may not know it, so ask your preacher after the service or ask me. I'm here to Wednesday. Amen. All right, so ask me. But we understand dispensationally that the kingdom of heaven in the future speaks of the period of time when Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the kingdom dispensation. And in the context of Matthew 13 and these parables that pertain to the kingdom of heaven pertain to that period of time. Having said that, let me give you the contrast of the kingdom of God, where the kingdom of heaven is physical in nature, the kingdom of God is spiritual in nature, and it really encompasses the kingdom of heaven. If we looked at the 1,000-year millennial reign of Jesus Christ that's going to occur, hopefully it'll begin 7 years from today. Amen. Amen. If Christ comes dead, start 7 years from now. I could handle that. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this earth. But if you look at that 1,000-year period and call that the kingdom of heaven, why, the kingdom of God just envelops it. The kingdom of God is everything that's related to God and His kingdom from eternity past to eternity future. Amen. And the kingdom of heaven is just one small part of that. And so this morning, I really don't want to preach on the kingdom of heaven so much. I don't want to preach on the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ so much. But I just wanted to give that as the context. I want you to understand when you read these, if you read these parables and just think it's talking about the time that we're living in and pull all the application there, you're going to get real mixed up in your doctrine, okay? We're not hyper-dispensational, but we're dispensational in our doctrine. Amen. And we believe that God writes different things to different people at different times. Amen. And to understand the Word of God, you got to figure out who He's writing to, what He's writing about, and when. Amen. And all that good stuff. Now, we also believe this morning that as we look at any verse of Scripture, while there is the direct interpretation, we always believe there's practical application. Amen. We always believe there's a prophetic implication. So I'm not really going to preach on the direct interpretation. I'm not really going to preach on the prophetic implication. But I want to give some practical application out of these verses, the Scripture, here this morning. Because the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And so I believe we can draw from this verse some practical application here this morning. Now, we believe strongly that if we're going to bring practical application out of this verse this morning, then I would say, practically speaking, for you and I today, this verse could represent the sphere of those professing to be followers of Christ from the human point of view. Amen. And you have to go back and chew on that just a little bit, but you'll get that. Amen. This represents the sphere of those people today in professing Christianity that say we're following Christ and just from a human point of view. So as we read this exact parable here this morning, we read, and I just want to preach it with that practical application. The Bible said again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Now, real quickly, according to the context, if we read the context of this, if we were to back up to verse 38 in a previous parable, I'll just read the first part of the verse. The Bible said the field is the world. And I want you to keep that in mind because that's the context of verse 44 as well. The field is the world. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. And I am convinced, practically speaking, that the treasure that is represented in this field is sinners. Now, you may disagree with that this morning, and that's fine. You get a chance to preach later on. Amen? But I'm preaching right now, and I believe it represents sinners. And that's how I want to preach this message. Amen? And our creation, as sinners, we're brought out of the dust of the earth, out of the field, out of the dirt of the field. You mark that down. Amen? Our birth and our beginning is in this world, and our humanity springs from dirt. It springs from the dust of the earth. It springs from the field of this earth. And I believe in this verse, again, for practical application, that the man that found the treasure represents the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that. I believe that with all I've studied this. I've had other preachers critique this. But I believe if we're going to apply it to this point in time, that's what it would represent. Amen. And this morning, you and I are followed, we are called to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in His footsteps. Amen. And so I want to give you three things to consider about this treasure as I watch that clock this morning. All right? The first thing I want to point out about the treasure, again, understanding the field is the world and that sinners are the treasure, and the man that's looking, that finds the field, that finds the treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand first the treasure. Just write it down and go back and study it later. The treasure was buried in the field. The treasure was buried in the field. And I see Adam and Eve this morning created out of the dust of the earth, and there they are. They're lost in the filth and the mire of their sin because shortly after their creation, they sinned against God. And I see Adam and Eve there. They're actually hiding themselves there in the Garden of Eden. They're hidden in the field. But I want to say thank God, but God, amen, came looking for them in the beginning of time when they, the first time a man sinned, the first time a woman sinned, God became the first missionary, amen. And he left his home, and he left his father, and he left his family, and he left his fortunes, and he came to this earth looking for sinners that were buried and hiding in the field of this world, amen. And I thank God. Well, you and I, we are represented in Adam and Eve. Amen. Legally speaking, that's our father, Adam and Eve. He's the father of our race. We are represented in the first Adam. And we in Adam, on the day that Adam and Eve sinned, you and I in Adam, we sinned against God as well. You say, well, I didn't sin against God then. Well, I'm telling you, you're a sinner now. Amen. You're represented in Adam then. You're living now and you're a sinner. Who wants to raise your hand this morning and say, I've never sinned against God? My glasses are off, but let me put them back on. I don't see any hands going up. Amen. I think every one of us have sinned against God. Romans 5 says that in Adam, all die. All of us were condemned because we are connected, because we are related, because we have the same sin nature that Adam had. And so because all of us are represented in Adam, and because we all die in Adam, then the entire human race was lost without hope, sold under the bondage of sin, self, and Satan, and buried in the dust and ashes of this world, and headed for the center, which is called hell. Amen. But God came looking for us when he came looking for Adam. Amen. God came looking for He wasn't just on that day in Genesis chapter number 3. God was not just looking for Adam and Eve. Amen. He's looking for Adam and Eve's race that would follow them. Amen. The human race. Adam's fallen race. Adam's sinful race was hidden treasure. Now you may say, wait a minute. I do not believe that God would look at sinners and call us treasure. Well, let's get back to our text just for a moment. And let me just say, the Bible said the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found. And I want to say that here's a man that's out in the field and he comes across treasure. He's looking and he finds treasure in the field. And you say, Pastor, the type messes up, the application messes up because sinners are not treasure to God. But I want to say that sinners are hidden treasure to God. Amen. The Bible said in Psalm chapter number 2, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen. What's the next three words? For thine inheritance. Amen. Now, when you and I talk about inheritance, we talk about some grandpa or some grandma or some uncle or great uncle we didn't even know. Amen. And they die and you get a letter from a lawyer and he says, well, you've inherited the estate of your great uncle Joe. Amen. Third removed from your cousin's wife. Amen. And you say, I didn't even know I had an uncle Joe. And I got an inheritance. An inheritance is something that increases our net worth. Amen. It's an asset, not a liability. That's what an inheritance is. God said, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. What about that? That's God, Psalm 2, prophetically speaking to his son, Jesus Christ, and saying, I'll give you the heathen. They'll be your inheritance. Amen. Oh, listen, man, we're called in the Bible jewels. Man, Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 18, God says that we are, that you may know what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints are. We look at Christ and say, He's our inheritance, but Christ looks at us and says, you're my inheritance. Amen. You say, well, it still don't match up, preacher, because they're sinners. Well, in Psalm 2, he called them heathen. I think it matches up pretty good. You say, man, they're buried in the filth of this world. They're buried in dirt. Can I tell you, a diamond in the rough is a diamond sure enough. Amen. Because before it was ever found, it was made of diamond stuff. Amen. And God knows that on the inside of us, man, if He'll just infuse His righteousness, if that new man will be put on the inside of us, amen, we're an inheritance. We're jewels. We're precious. We are treasure to God. Can I tell you, one of the reasons these missionaries are here this morning, this missionary is looking for some treasure over in Zambia, amen. And this missionary is looking for some treasure in the Afghan people, amen, of New York City. And this missionary is looking up there in Siberia, amen, over there in Russia, and he's looking for treasure. And this dear missionary evangelist is looking for treasure anywhere he can find it. He got some in Sioux Falls preaching for us last year. Had 16 people get saved. Amen. Treasure that we're looking for. Amen. But the treasure, it's always buried. If it wasn't buried, amen, everybody know where to go right away. It's buried. Amen. You got to go find it. You got to go mine it. You got to get that treasure. Can I tell you this morning, and I got 8 minutes. I got to roll, all right? Can I tell you there's a whole lot of buried treasure in our world today? A whole lot of buried treasure sitting here in Greenfield, Indiana. A whole lot of treasure sitting here in Indianapolis, amen. A whole lot of treasure sitting here. Listen, I'm talking about sinners that can be turned into the saints of God. Amen. I'm talking about prostitutes that can be purified, amen, and be up here. I'm telling you, it's a pretty good thing when God can take a woman that's been used, misused, and abused by the world and put her into this thing that He calls a chaste bride, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God can take the dirtiest of the dirty and make them the cleanest of the clean. Amen. See, God, on that day when He came looking, He didn't see what Adam was. He saw what Adam could be. Amen. And He didn't see what I was. He saw what I could be. And He doesn't see what those heathen in those dark areas of our world are. He sees what they can be with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just telling you, we's buried in the field. Look at here. It was buried in the field, but then I want you to notice this. The Bible said here, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in the field, the which when a man hath found. Can I tell you, if he found it in the field, he had to be looking in the field. Isn't that right? I mean, he had to be looking. He had to be looking. It was beheld. And it was buried in the field. It was beheld in the field. He looked and he saw there's treasure in that field. There's treasure to be found. There's treasure to be had in that field. He was looking. He was looking. He was looking. Can I tell you, that man knew there was treasure, and he went looking for it just like God went looking for Adam. And just like these missionaries are going out looking for sinners, amen, to see get Muslims, amen. Well, I want to see Muslims. We got to quit looking. We've got to quit looking at the crescent. We've got to quit looking at the crescent moon through just simply our red-blooded, patriotic American eyes. And some of you say, well, that's the way I look. Well, that you do what you want to, amen. But we got to start looking at them through the cross, amen, and through the blood of the cross, amen. I'm going to tell you something. There's 30,000 Muslims that will die between now and tomorrow, this time, 24 hours from now, and the majority of them have never, ever heard a clear presentation of the gospel. In fact, in closed areas of our world, they haven't even heard the name Jesus Christ except as a prophet of their religion. We owe it to them. Paul said, I'm a debtor to the barbarian. I don't know any more barbaric people than the Arabic Muslim people of our world. And Paul said, we owe it to them to give them the gospel of the grace of God. I'll preach on that later this week. Amen. When he found it, he saw it. He beheld it. Man, I don't have the time, but read John 4, 34, 35. Read Matthew 9. Lift up your eyes. Look at the fields, for they are white to harvest. There's treasure out there in them fields. They're white to harvest. Amen. Beheld in the field. Looking in the field. I want to know, is there anyone today that'd be willing to lift up your eyes and behold the fields? Is there anyone today that'd be willing to take a fresh look at missions, not from the standpoint of being an outsider looking in, not from the viewpoint of being a church member looking at the missionaries up here preaching right now, looking at displays out here. I'm asking if there's anybody here that'd be willing to look at sinners, amen, through the eyes of the cross and say, how can I be personally involved in reaching my world with the gospel of the grace of God? How can I be involved in reaching Greenfield, Indiana with the gospel of the grace of God? How can I be involved in giving to my missions program, amen, to get more missionaries to the field and keep them on the field? And God, would you let me be involved to the extent that I could go myself, amen. You say, well, I hadn't even thought of that. It'd be a good time to start thinking about it. 48% of our world's never heard the gospel of Christ one time. It'd be good if we'd start thinking as average church members, amen. What about those 48%? It's wonderful that we're reaching 52% of the world over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But what about the 48% of the world that's never heard one time? Don't we owe it to them to at least say, Lord, here am I, send me. Lift up your eyes this morning, church, amen. Get your eyes off of Calvary and get your eyes off an empty tomb and get your eyes over to a field full of people, amen, that's never heard of Calvary or the empty tomb, amen. Get your eyes on the field. That treasure is buried in the field. That treasure is beheld in the field. Oh, my goodness, listen, there was treasure. God knew there was treasure in the field on that day when he went looking for Adam's sinful race, when he found Adam and Eve on that day. The Bible said, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. God hid Adam's sinful race in his heart on that day in Genesis chapter number 3. And he went back to heaven, and God began preparing. And God, you say, well, from eternity past, the plan was in place. I understand that, but for the point of the illustration, he began preparing. He saw the treasure, not just Adam and Eve. He saw you. He saw your grandchildren. He saw the world. And for joy, God went back and sold all that he had. You say, now that's not true, preacher. That is true. God sold all that he had. The Bible is clear that when the fullness of time was come, God would send forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem those of us that are the sinful race of Adam. Oh, listen, Genesis 3:15, he had prophesied he would do that. Galatians 4:4, he tells us that he did that. Jesus literally, as God, would come to this earth. Jesus would live 33 years of life and never sin one time. He said, I do always those things that please the Father. Amen. I mean, he said to that group of Pharisees that could find sin in anybody, he said, which of you convinceth me of sin? They couldn't do it. Amen. Even at Calvary, they couldn't get two witnesses to bring a false accusation in agreement. Amen. They couldn't do it because they couldn't agree because everybody knew that it wasn't true. Pilate, he said, I'm washing my hands of the blood of this just man. Judas Iscariot said, I've sinned in that I betrayed innocent blood. The thief on the cross said, this man hath done nothing amiss. The Roman centurion said, truly, this was the Son of God. The writer of Hebrews said, he was sinless, he was holy, he was harmless, he was undefiled. Amen. I'm talking about the Son of God. He came and lived 33 years of perfect life. And as the God-man, 100% God and 100% man, he went to an old rugged cross and he allowed them to strip him of everything. He allowed them to mock him. He allowed them to beat him, and he literally sold his life that day. He sold his health that day. He sold his, you're not going to like this, but I don't care. He sold his relationship with his Father on that day for a sinner. Amen. He said, my God, in the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, he never one time referred to his Father as God. He always referred to him as his Father. He prayed, Holy Father, over and over, our Father which art in heaven. But when he was dying on the cross, when he was giving his life for sinners, he started by saying on the cross, he starts with his prayer to his Father, Father, forgive them. He ends with a prayer, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But as he was dying on the cross, there was a separation from his Father. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I'm going to tell you, you say, why did he do that? He did that for Adam's sinful race. Amen. He allowed himself to be separated from his Father so that you would never have to be separated from your heavenly Father in the pits of the damned for all of eternity. Amen. He allowed himself to be separated from his Father. My God, my God, I'm telling you, this man, this God man, he found sinful man in the fields of this earth, and he went back to heaven. And 4,000 years later, when the fullness of time was come, he came back, and for the joy, our text said, for joy, he sold all he had. Hebrews chapter number 12 said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What was the joy that was set before him? That he'd have a bunch of rotten, filthy sinners, amen, that become treasure, amen. I thank God we're treasure this morning. You and I are his inheritance this morning. But we ain't the only treasure out there. There's a lot more treasure to be got yet, amen. Oh, listen, I got to wrap it up. It's 12:02. I am so sorry. I'm 2 minutes over. I want to tell you, it was bought in the field. It was buried in the field. It was beheld in the field, but it was bought in the field. Amen. The Bible said, for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. God hid humanity in his heart on that day as he went back to heaven and prepared to sell all he had to redeem the treasure of humanity. And the Bible makes it clear that he had traded his life, as we just talked about, in order that he might buy that field. Can I tell you, and I'm going to back up just a minute, and then I'm going to get to my conclusion, all right? Are you listening? In that 33 years of life, a man came to follow Jesus one day, said, I want to follow you. And Jesus said, the foxes, they have holes, and the birds there have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. Don't tell me God didn't sell everything he had. He didn't even have a home. He come to this earth through the virgin womb of Mary. And when he was born, there was no room in the inn. Don't tell me he didn't sell everything he had. Everything. 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 Why? To buy sinners. To buy sinners. To buy sinners. That's why I came. Amen. To buy sinners. This is a mission meeting. This is a missions revival. And I know that. And I'm just simply trying to establish a fact and then give my invitation that Christ, he wanted to redeem the sinful treasure, the hidden treasure of Adam's human race by resurrecting them out of the field. Amen. They're buried in the field. He wanted to resurrect them out of that field of sin unto himself. So he sold everything so that he could buy the field. He traded everything he had for everything I had. What about that? For God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He traded his righteousness for our sin. Don't tell me he didn't sell everything. He sold out on surrendering to be obedient to the cross, selling everything to buy you and I. Man, I'm going to tell you, I can preach on sanctification right now. What? No, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Amen. Amen. Hidden treasure discovered by the Lord. Bought with a price. Amen. But can I tell you, you and I are called to follow in his footsteps. And some of you here this morning have been called to do that yourself. Amen. You've been called to sell your lives. Some of these missionaries could have a better life. I'm just telling you, humanly speaking, they could have a better life. They could have a good career. They could make good money. They could have houses, lands. Oh, yes. Some of you in the church, if you wasn't given to missions like you're given, you could have better cars, better houses, better boats, better deer rifles. Amen. You know you could. You could have it better too. But you're selling out. Some of you, you're selling out. You're selling out to try to find some treasure. God wants some of you to sell your lives. Listen to me. He wants some. I want to tell you, I'm burdened this week. I want to see this church's faith promise missions giving go way up. I'm very burdened about that, and I'm quite sure the church is too. And if you're not, you ought to be at the altar praying, why don't we have a burden for this? Amen. I mean, we ought to be wanting to get treasure out of every part of the world, but more so than I'm burdened about money, I'm burdened about men. More so than I'm burdened about giving, I'm burdened about going. Amen. At the current rate of the missions program in the United States of America, if missionaries keep coming home at the rates they're coming home, and then we send them back at the rates we're sending them, do you understand at the current rate that missionaries are coming home and being sent back to the field, if we continue the current trends, by 2031, that's 10 years from right now, the missions program in the United States of America will flatline. And it won't flatline because there's not money. It'll flatline because there's not men who are answering the call of God to go out to a field and find some treasure that's buried. Look on the field that's white to harvest. Say, Lord, here am I, send me, and get out there and get digging. Get out there and get plowing. Get out there and get preaching. Get out there and start telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ so we can get that treasure in for the glory of God. Amen. God will call. I'm convinced every church I go to, I'm convinced of this. I go to some churches, pastors get nervous when I'm preaching. I sure don't mean that. I know he won't. But some churches I go, they get nervous. Pastor, I know they got nervous when they get up when I'm done preaching and saying, well, now everybody can't go. You got 300 people sitting in churches, everybody can't go. And I'm sitting there saying, nobody's went out of the church in 30 years. What do you mean everybody can't go? The problem isn't everybody can't go. The problem is anybody won't go. We need missionaries. We need people that will just say, Lord, hey. And you say, well, you got to have the call of God. I believe in the call of God, but I believe we made the call of God into something that God never meant for it to be. Amen. And most people aren't waiting for a call from God. They're waiting for a kick in their backside with a physical foot somewhere, and God ain't never going to do that to you. Amen. You say, well, I mean, Pastor, I want to go. Then tell that to God. Get on altar this morning and say, God, I want to go. Oh, God, let me go. God, I beg you to let me go. Amen. God, there's a place in that field, whether it's Greenfield or the other side of the world, that He wants you serving. Get to it. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I'm about at the place. Me and Brother Blue talked about this several years ago. We was driving down the road. I can't remember where he was going to some meeting, and driving down the road talking. And I think my family was driving him to a church service at the same hotel, and driving down the road talking, and he said, brother, I'm just about at the point where I would say I'm going to start asking people for their call to stay. Amen. You say, well, there's got to be a call to go. I believe that. But some of those folks that are staying, they're not asking God whether they should go or not. They're just staying. Amen. Well, listen, if I've got to justify my call to go, and I should, then you ought to justify your call to stay, and you should. Amen. You ought to know the perfect will of God in Christ Jesus for your life at every time. And young man, you don't have to wait till you're 30 years old to find out what the perfect will of God in Christ Jesus is. Amen. I'm trying to get done because I want to be done, all right? It hurts my stomach to preach. Like I want to be done. Listen, but I'm telling you, man, we got a generation of young men and young ladies, 30 years old, ain't got a clue what they're going to do in life, ain't got a clue what. They're like, well, I keep praying. Why don't you get serious about it? Why don't you start fasting? Why don't you get on an altar and say, I'm not getting off the altar until God gives me some direction in my life where to go. Hey, if you just start seeking God, get serious about God, God will show you His will. Seek God and He'll show you His will. Amen. You say, well, you know, I'm middle-aged, I'm older, I couldn't go. Some of the best missionaries I know retired from a job, retired from a career, and answered the call of God to go. Hey, breathe in, breathe out. You still got air in your lungs? There's still treasure in the field. Go live out an adventure for the glory of God. Go find you some treasure. Amen. Bring them in for the glory of God. Amen. Oh, listen. While these missionaries here this morning are willing to give their all for the sake of buried treasures in their mission field, I'm asking you right now, is there anybody here that'd say, preacher, I'm in. For the joy that he had, he went and sold all he had. Anybody here willing to give your life, sell everything you have, to say, I'm going to buy the field this morning? Come on now. Anybody? Outside of the missionaries that have already surrendered. I mean, these brothers, if I start calling names, I'll get them all mixed up. Amen. All right. But this brother right here, and this brother right here, and this brother right here, and Brother Stalkup, I know him. Amen. And Brother Hewitt. Man, they're doing that. You say, well, preacher, some of us are doing that. I believe that. Amen. But I'm telling you, surely somebody's sitting in this church and hadn't even considered the call of God. Surely someone's sitting in this church and you just think, well, God, man, God uses men like Brother Hewitt. God uses men like Pat. But God's not going to use somebody like me. Have you asked him? Amen. I mean, I'm just going to tell you, he already said, go ye into all the world. Most of us are waiting on a voice and we already got a verse. Amen. He said, go ye. He may not call you to Africa, but start in your neighborhood. Amen. Amen. You say, Pastor, you got to remind, I need to remind you, Brother Ruttman, I need to remind you that you told us you wanted to get us out of here for dinner. I do. Before you go, would you be willing to come down to an altar this morning and say, Lord, I'm willing to sell out. I'm willing to sell my life. I'm willing to sell my body, soul, and spirit, amen, to Jesus Christ for the cause of lost souls. I'm willing to go find me some buried treasure. I'm willing to sell all I have to go buy that field so I can get that treasure. So, man, they for at least the next 2 to 4 years, they're buying the field of Zambia, amen. They're buying the field of Muslims in New York City. They're buying the field of Russia, amen. I mean, man, we're trying to buy the field, amen. You say, well, God, I know God has not called me to go. Brother Ruppin, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt God hadn't called me to go. Then he's called you to give. If he hasn't called you to go, then you are called to give. You say, well, man, all you missionaries do is want money. No, really, we don't care about money. We just want to get where we got to go, amen, to reach people with the gospel of the grace of God. That's all we care about when it comes to money. We just want to get to where the center is, and it takes money to get from point A to point B. Amen, that's it. We're not building up bank accounts. You say, you don't have a bank account. I don't have a hidden bank account. I don't have a retirement. I care less about that kind of stuff. I don't have a boat I can sell. I don't, amen. I don't have some place I can sell and make $50,000. You say, what are you going to do when you retire? I'm not planning on retiring, amen. You say, well, you're crazy. Come what you want to. Amen. I'll meet you at the judgment seat. Amen. I'm trying to send as much ahead as I can. You say, well, I'm going to give you $20,000. Put it in a retirement account. I wouldn't put it in a retirement account. I'd put it into church buildings in West Africa. Amen. I would. I could care less about stinking money. My God has supplied my need all my life, and it just keep on till I die. I can count on him. I eat Jehovah Jireh. Amen. I'm feeling really good, and I got to get really done. Amen. I'm just simply saying, these guys are giving their lives. Their wives are giving their lives. And if God won't let you, because that's really how it ought to be. We shouldn't view the missionary, well, I don't have to go. Man, I ought to be like disappointed, like I don't get to go. Amen. But if God won't let you go, then you should say, man, I'm gonna pour my heart. I'm going to pour my soul into my local church, reaching sinners out my doors right here with the gospel. And I'm going to give to send this brother to Russia. And I'm going to give to send this brother to New York City. You've already been given to send me. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to get, hey, by the way, can I tell you, in the last 2.5 years, we had 66 people make professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, from about 10 or 15 different nations. Amen. That money, it's got fruit to your account. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I want to send as much ahead as I can. For the joy that's set before him, he said, I think I'm going to buy the field. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll have a piano player or a guitar player or some kind of player. Amen. Up here in just a minute. And I want to ask you this question. Is there anybody here that come down to an altar and say, Lord, I'm willing to give a commitment to buy the field? Now, I'm just telling you, this is the first day of mission conference. If you're not willing to at least commit to God on the first day of mission conference, I'm willing to buy the field. Then if you're not willing to make a commitment to God, then you are already making a commitment to God. If you're not willing to make a commitment that say, Lord God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll give what you want me to give. If you're not willing to make that commitment on the first day of missions conference, can I tell you, you're already making, I cannot tell you how many people come to me and say, Brother Rubman, I'd make a commitment, but, and I tell them, you just made a commitment. You're giving me the reasons why you won't make a commitment, and really you're committing to not commit. I'm asking on the first day of missions conference, would you be willing to commit to buy the field as a church? There might be an individual here. You say, man, God's touching my heart. God wants me to go. Would you just come down to this altar and tell him that? Would you commit yourself and say, Lord, if you'll let me go, I'll go. But I'm asking this morning more than that. Those that you say, God hadn't called me to go. I'm asking, would you commit to give all? To sell all to go get the field, to get the treasure in the field. Would you commit? Altar's open. Man, right now's a good time to commit. Why don't you come on down? Why don't you just commit to God to sell it all? To give up your life, to give your love, to give your labor, to give your time, tears, and treasure to get sinners. If we don't do that, I'm going to tell you something, Brother Hewitt. If we're not willing to do that, then if we're not willing to say, I'll give my all to the one who gave his all to me, then really, friends, we're just playing church anyhow. I'm just telling you the truth. We're just playing church. If we're not willing to give our all for the one who gave his all for us, then we're just playing games. And ours is no different than the social club down the street. Amen. Amen. Altar's open. God's dealing with folks. Folks down at the altar. Why don't you come down and talk to the Lord, make a commitment. You say, Pastor, I can't come down there to make a commitment. Then make a commitment where you are. But talk to the Lord. Commit yourself to the Lord. Do you see in your neighbors what God saw in Adam? Do you see on your street, little kids, what God saw at Adam and Eve's sinful race? What are you going to do about it? He went back. He saw it all. He traded it all so he could buy us. Amen. Make us into treasure. What are you going to do with those kids on your street? What are you going to do with those neighbors in your neighborhood? What are you going to do with sinners around the world? You can make a commitment to God this morning. Choice is yours. Altar's open. Folks are praying. I'm turning it over to the preacher. Are you willing to buy the field this morning?
Say is praise the Lord. Sure appreciate the Lord's goodness. Amen. I appreciate the Lord's goodness. Amen. Sometimes you need a little nudge to pray, and sometimes you got to just have the right discernment to know. And Dylan got a little encouragement to come pray this morning. And Dylan, come on up here, buddy. You can tell them. Come up here. We can hear you there, son. So just tell them what you was telling me, all right?
Well, I felt like I got called to the field to be a missionary.
And what he told me, he said, I want to surrender to be willing to go.
Amen.
And I said, are you willing to stay if the Lord wants you to stay? He said, I'll stay if the Lord wants me to stay. That ought to be our attitude. Amen. Right there it is. I believe Brother Blue was right on that, brother. There ought to be a call to stay. There ought to be a call to stay. If there's a call to stay, there's a call to give. But I appreciate Dylan being willing to come down. And you wonder, are people listening? People are listening. Young folks are listening. And you young folks who people say, well, I don't know if they're listening or not. I believe you're listening. You hear the Lord. Amen. You just be obedient. Amen. Dylan, I sure appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate him, buddy. Now, I've joked about him being my assistant pastor. Well, here we go. I don't know. Amen. That's right. That's right. Ryan's already moved to Kentucky. I mean, I might need some help, you know. So, amen. I mean, Ryan, he worked himself out of that job, moved to Kentucky. It's his own fault. You know. Amen. Bill, in all seriousness, brother, I appreciate your heart and willingness to come. I really do. I really do. I appreciate that, son. God bless you. Amen. 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 Well, what do we do now? Amen. Somebody says, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten a bite of food today. I've drunk a couple of cups of coffee, but I hadn't even eaten a bite of food. But I'm reminded of that verse from John 4 where Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I'd rather just sit here and let the Lord work. I mean, the food can get cold. And if God worked in hearts and people surrendered to the Lord, people surrendered, got things where they needed to be, and got right and all, I'd be willing not to even worry about dinner. Amen, I would. I would. Amen. Well, how many of us going to pray for Dylan? How many of us pray for Dylan? That's right. Amen. He's got a little bit of an uphill battle, but I reckon there's a lot of folks in here. We've had a little bit of an uphill battle. Amen. That's right. And we're going to be praying for Dylan. Probably going to be putting him to work, too. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen.
Right.
All right. Amen. Go ahead, sister. Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. And I asked him, I said, Sister Skinner, I said, she talked to you? He said, just encouraged him to pray and come take a step. And I'm very leery. I don't want us to call him. I want the Lord to. But at the same time, the Lord helps us to recognize things.
Yes, he does.
And I appreciate folks being sensitive. Just a little nudge to go pray. And I appreciate Dylan. I really do. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to dismiss, and I know we've got dinner in here. I know the ladies got to get some things ready, and Dylan's going to stand up here, and folks are going to come by, and they're going to shake hands with you as they go in yonder, and that way they can shake hands with you, hug your neck, and pray for you, and then let them fellowship over here in the fellowship hall. Amen. I sure appreciate Dylan. He's a blessing. Amen. Amen. All hearts and minds clear this morning. Yes, ma'am. Amen. 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 Man. That about make a man want to take a laugh, won't it? I'm telling you. Amen. Thank God for it. Amen. 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 Now, we're not going to drag it out, but if anybody's got a word on your heart, we want to give you an opportunity to testify. Anybody? Miss Tracy, go ahead, honey.
I'm thankful for my family,
Father. Amen.
God loves so much in my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Bless your heart, Miss Tracy. God bless you. Amen. 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 All hearts and minds clear. I'm loving it, brother. Amen. Amen. I love it when the Lord just comes in, settles down, starts squeezing the juice out. I love it. I love it. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Amen. Brother David, go ahead and dismiss us and then ask the Lord's blessing on the food in the fellowship hall. And I know the missionaries are going to go here and get settled. Y'all want to get settled. You're welcome to stand next to your table, but you might want to do that after y'all get a plate of food. Make sure your kids get fed. Take care of your youngins first. Worry about us next. Take care of the family first, and then we'll go from there. All right. All right. Brother David, go ahead.
Hey, Lord, thank you.